So when I was growing up, we never knew about the movie The Polar Express. I don't know when that movie came out, but I don't ever remember seeing it as a child. But when we were able to watch it with our kids, it became very special, especially with our grandkids. And I guess for me, I don't know about for you, has anybody seen The Polar Express? Yeah, the movie? For me, I just really loved it. When, in particular, the kid that had the rough life got the ticket and was able to go and believe and receive. And I don't know why that movie touches me so much. I remember one year when we got Elijah the Bell, that's featured in that movie. I don't know, Wendy, maybe it was too that we grew up in a town with a railroad running through it, right? Oh, yeah, you would in Crescent, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it funny, you get used to it. You know, people come to visit and they say, "How do you sleep with that?" Well, after a while, you just don't hear it. But I remember as a kid and even an older kid walking the railroad tracks. And I remember too that. When you got in this one straight section that went out through an area called Rockville, that you could see for a long way out the tracks. And I don't know if you've ever seen one of those like artistic perspectives when you got two parallel things in a distance, what happens to them? They really become one. And I thought that would be a good illustration to tell you what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the two tracks of sorrow and joy that are in everybody's life, the two tracks of joy and sorrow. I heard actually Rick Warren, you know the preacher Rick Warren, Purpose Driven Life, say that life is like a parallel set of train tracks with joy and sorrow running continuously through our days. And he said sometimes, you know, wonderful good things happen and that's the track of joy in our life, and we've experienced that. But also, every life also holds disappointments and challenges and struggles and perhaps even losses. And that is the track of sorrow. And when you live long enough, you realize that joy and sorrow will always be linked. Think about that as we prepare to open up the scripture today. In our life, joy and sorrow will always be linked. And interestingly, it is the experience of hardship or trouble or sorrow that makes then joy even more sweet. For example, do you remember the Christmas story where the woman with long hair, very poor family, she goes out and sells her hair to buy what? Do you remember? To buy the chain for her husband's most prized possession, which was his pocket watch. And what does the husband do? He sells his pocket watch, his most precious possession, to buy her those comb things for her hair, right? And on Christmas, what an exchange that is, right? And I mean, it just brings tears to your eyes it's because of these two tracks that are in our lives that we have the experience of both joy and sorrow. And maybe, just maybe, that this life is going to really prepare us properly for the time when there is no more sorrow. Amen? I have a great story from hospice this year. There was a family here in Bedford County that one of our nurses just found out that they were really struggling. Older farm family, and really just a very tiny farm, just struggling to save lives. The man's 82, Jim, and he's still farming just to make ends meet. And wonderful family. But literally didn't have anything. So it was a really special thing for the staff, you know, the nurses and the aides and me and, you know, the social workers to pull together. And all the gifts, by the way, were very practical. Like the guy needed socks, you know. So I went out and bought some good socks, Jason. I mean, some good socks, you know, that I knew that as a farmer he would appreciate, you know. And you should have seen their faces whenever those gifts, they delivered them in two laundry baskets. It was very appropriate, by the way. And I mean to tell you, there was joy in that house. There was incredible joy in that house. And why is it, you know? Because they appreciated it, right? Yeah. I just want you to understand about these two parallel tracks of joy and sorrow. Because listen, I've seen so many posts about, you know, 2020. Goodbye, 2020. You know, we just want to look forward. Well, it's true. 2020 has been some year. I mean, come on, right? It has really been a challenging year. And even worse for some. It's been a devastating year for some. And in the midst of that, you know, we have to be able to look forward to something. Can I tell you a secret? Really not a secret, but it's kind of one of the secrets of life that you must learn, that everyone has to have something to look forward to. When you don't have anything to look forward to, that's when real depression comes, you know. But it's when you can see, using my train analogy again, when you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, that is what gives you hope that there is the possibility of a better tomorrow, especially when your todays are challenging, right? I mean, it's we're living in a world full of struggles. We know that. And that's why the scripture that I picked tonight is particularly poignant. It's particularly appropriate for us this year. And the passage that I want to share with you is in the Gospel of John. It's in the 16th chapter. Now, if you know a little bit about the Gospel of John, right, you know that up until the 14th chapter, John is recording, you know, the author of the Gospel, he's recording the life and ministry of Jesus in a very public way, you know, like as Jesus was out ministering to the multitudes. But in chapter 14, John, unlike the other Gospel writers, he records the personal conversations that Jesus is having with his 12 disciples right before his crucifixion. So you got John 14, 15, 16, and then 17, the prayer of Jesus, that's all taking place the night that Jesus was betrayed. And you find out that Jesus is trying to prepare them then. He's trying to help them be able to understand that things are going to look bad, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And so, very interestingly, in John chapter 16, Jesus is using an illustration that many in this room tonight can really relate to, especially the women here tonight, right? So remember this, that Jesus has been talking about the fact that he's going to suffer and die, and they don't want to hear it. I mean, they've been with him for 3 years. They've seen all these miracles. They just saw him, Dan, raise Lazarus from the dead. But yet he is continually talking about the fact that he, their Messiah, is going to suffer and die. But he tells them he's going to rise again, but that part just seems to be going over their head. They don't want to hear any. That's because their Jewish hopes of the Messiah was rooted in their belief that the Messiah was going to change things right then by kicking out the Romans, setting up the Jewish messianic kingdom on this earth right then, and Israel was going to be restored to its glory. And so they didn't understand that, well, one day that will be, right? One day that will be. But Jesus had to do something very hard to bring about something very good. So guess what illustration he uses. I don't know if you can bring this up in the big screen, Tyler, but it's John chapter 16 and verse, we'll just use the verses that are applicable, 21 and 22. We'll keep it short, right? So instead of an hour and 45 minutes, now we're down to an hour and 40. All right. So John chapter 16 and verse 21 says this. Jesus is trying to give them an illustration of what's going to happen. He says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. How many women can say amen? Oh, yeah. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And then he says, so with you. Now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice. And listen to this part. And no one will take away your joy. Now, I mentioned as I was introducing the service tonight that we went to visit my daughter Alyssa, who is pregnant. And it's a very weird thing for me to see my baby girl going to have a baby boy. It is a very weird thing. And, yeah, you understand. And, I love my kids with all my heart, and my grandkids too. And the one thing that I would love to do is to keep them from pain. Right, parents? You would love, but you realize, Michelle, it's an impossible task. You can't do it. So what can you do? Well, for Alyssa, what we could do is talk about the joy that comes after. Yeah. Right? That's what you do. I mean, I've been told giving birth is painful. Now, you may not believe this, but I can relate a little bit. Some of you know my story. When my baby girl was born, Kim had a baby girl. I had a baby kidney stone, and I think mine was about as big as hers. I mean, pain like I never experienced in my life. You know what a kidney stone feels like, right? Yeah. And I mean, it was... But, Kim's pain was temporary and able to be replaced with joy because of what that pain produced, right? Yeah. We took my daughter's husband down a Christmas present. He's putting a home gym together, in their garage. So... I got him this sign, and the sign is customized. It says Casey's Gym. That's his name, Casey. Casey's Gym. And underneath it, guess what I wrote? No pain, no gain. How many have heard that expression? No pain, no gain. Well, listen, we are willing to endure the pain of exercise, right, because of the good that can come out of it, right? Well, that's what I want to help all of us, me included, understand tonight that as a Christian, can I tell you something? As a Christian, I guarantee you that your pain is temporary. It's absolute. I can guarantee you that your troubles, your suffering has an expiration date. You know that? And the reason it does is the same reason for this season, because Jesus came. Because Jesus came. We, as I said, can endure things, troubles, even 2020 troubles, the year 2020 troubles, if we can see a light at the end of the tunnel, if we can see something good happen. Well, the scriptures tell us that faith is the confident expectation of the good that will come. It is indeed being able to be confident in what we hope for. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, being confident of what we hope for. The most tragic thing is when, as Christians, we feel, when we're going through troubles, that God has abandoned us. And you know, for you Bible scholars, Amy, one of my favorite Bible scholars, Amy. You know, when I read, Amy, that verse in the scripture where Jesus is on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? He says it in Hebrew, right? Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, or something like that. My Hebrew's not quite, you know. Close, right? It was close. Do you know what he was doing? Quoting scripture. Quoting scripture. For the longest time, Dan, I thought that, and maybe I had even been taught, maybe, that when the sins of the world were placed upon Jesus, that God the Father had to turn his back. Maybe I was even taught that way. I no longer believe that. I no longer believe that. I believe that indeed our sins were placed upon him. But I don't think the Father ever turned his back on Jesus. I think Jesus was quoting that scripture to illustrate that his time had come to fulfill that very prophecy that is in the Psalms, the Psalm that he was referring to, right? 22, right? Yeah. You see, the thing is, Jesus knew this, and this is what we have to know too. We have to know that there is indeed a joy that can be set before us that can overshadow any trouble that we're going through. Now, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is, hold your light up, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I know, yeah. Is that Jesus was able to endure the cross, scorning its shame. Why? Because of the joy that was set before him. That's what it says. You went down. I know that crawl. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. So, can I ask you this? What was the joy that was strong enough for Jesus to be able to endure what he went through? What was the joy? Us. Knowing that if he could go through with it. Listen, same with our kids, our grandkids, right? Listen, if we know if they could go through it, this good is going to come. And such good that will far overshadow anything that we have to experience in this life, right? You know, when we were dating, Kim and I, Kim used to be a camp counselor, right, and a youth leader. And she used to teach me all these corny songs that I never had grown up because in the Catholic church where I was raised, they didn't have those great corny camp songs. And I used to love listening to them. And I remember her doing stuff like, you know, the Lord said to Noah, there's going to be a floody, right, that kind of stuff. And then there was that that thing about the going on a lion hunt. Remember that? Going on a lion hunt, but I'm not afraid because they got me, right? Then they come to a mountain or something, an obstacle, right? Can't go over it, can't go under it, have to go through it, right? Can I tell you something? That's the way it is with our life. We got to go through it. But I tell you tonight, you can go through it when you know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, when there's hope in front of you, when you know there is good to come. Amen? We all go through disappointments. We all have those times in our lives where we want those sorrows to end. There's a psalm that Kim used to sing on a guitar. Did you know she used to play guitar for the camp songs? Yeah. And I still remember because we were dating at the time. I remember a lot about those days when we were dating. And so she wrote this song. She put music to the Psalms, right? And it was Psalm 30. Do you remember it, Kim? Sing praises to the Lord, all ye his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Here it comes. Weeping may tarry through the night, but joy comes in the morning. She did the music. Listen, weeping may tarry through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Here's what I want you to do when you wake up tomorrow morning. All right, every one of you, young and old, I want you to remember these words, right? Here it is. It's a classic, Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Here it comes. You ready? Listen to this. I want you to repeat this to your parents tomorrow. "I bring you good news of great joy." Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen? It's no wonder the angels appeared then and began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men on whom his favor rests." My friends, when you know Christ as your Savior, like Pretty Girl, when you know Christ as your Savior, right, God's favor is upon you. Yes. So here is my blessing to you tonight as we prepare to end our service. May the Lord let his light of love, of hope, and of joy shine into your life with such force to dispel every darkness, to show you that the light has come. Father God, we thank you for this night. We ask you, Lord God, now to prepare our hearts to truly receive Christ. Lord, to rejoice as all the universe rejoiced the day that he was born. To rejoice because they knew what we now know. A Savior has come. A Savior that has completed his work. A Savior that has returned to his glory in heaven and now has prepared a place for us. A Savior that sends us his Spirit and tells us, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." A Savior that brings us joy even in the midst of sorrow. Lord, let your joy be full in each one tonight, for they have you. They have eternal life. They have hope, and it's a hope that will never disappoint them. Lord, bless each one here tonight with a precious Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You want to light that candle for us now? Okay.
There's a whole lot of joy right here.
Amen.
All right. This is the we're lighting the candle of joy. Sorry.
May your heart be filled with joy as you hear the song of Mary, the Mother of Jesus. Last Sunday, we lit the candles of hope, peace, and love.
Today, we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of joy, as we remember Christmas through Mary's song. Luke chapter 1, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the source of all blessings, that you have brought us into your plan to fill the earth with great joy. May we find that joy in you this Christmas through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
There was some serious bling and beauty there. How about it? Amen. And joy. Well, Jules, we're going to need you to come back. Oh, who's going to play the piano? Jules? Silent Night, come on back. And we're going to get ready for our candle lighting. I'm going to light the center candle in our Advent wreath because that's the Christ candle. And as I do, we're going to actually light all the other candles from it. And so I will bring down to the first row that light, okay? Once we're all in place. Lord, we thank you tonight that you are the light of the world. And we do pray, Lord God, that you would light up our paths. Show us, Lord, the plans that you have for us that are good. That we look forward to a new year, Lord, because you're with us. And with you, there is hope. Lord, I pray now, light this place with the light of your love.